Hi. So this year was my third year going on Taiwan mission trip, and I had a really good experience. So in Taipei, I started off leading a group of 8 to 9-year-olds with pride, but usually during the camps, adjustments might be made with our teaching roles within the first day if there's need for extra help or if any issues arise. So pride ended up getting moved to another group, which needed another teacher. So now I was leading the group by myself. It went pretty smoothly though, because the kids in my group were very good. Really well behaved, good listeners, and extremely quiet. So quiet that they barely had any opinion when making decisions. When it came time to come up with a group name and chant, the kids had no preferences. Whatever we suggested, they would agree to. When we came up with a group chant, the kids, again, didn't care what it was and went along with whatever we showed them. Usually in the camps, especially with this age group, there are disagreements when deciding things, but these kids were all extremely compliant. Throughout the camp, though, their personalities started to come out and the kids got more talkative, and I was able to get to know them more. So, teaching went very well throughout all the camps, and I found myself being able to elaborate more on the material than I had before. And especially because across the three cities, all my groups were relatively older, their English skills were pretty strong. So, the Taipei camp was successful, and we went out to dinner after the last day of camp to celebrate. As many people probably know, I have a lot of allergies. Seafood, peanuts, tree nuts, pollen, animals, you name it. I'm always extremely careful with whatever I eat or touch, and while in Taiwan, I made sure to carry around a little bag of medicine and my inhaler wherever we went in my backpack. I would bring this bag every single day. The one day I forgot to put in my backpack, though, was the last day of camp. So we ate at an Italian restaurant, and I wasn't too worried, and I even told them about my allergies. I decided to try some of Esther's pizza that didn't have anything on it that I was allergic to. And as soon as I ate some, though, I felt kind of strange. I sometimes have really mild allergic reactions in which my tongue and my lips become kind of itchy, but this time my throat felt extremely weird and it felt like it was about to close. My reaction wasn't at all severe in retrospect, but I didn't need to use my EpiPen or anything, but it was just really scary because I was in a different country without my medicine and my inhaler, and this was one of the most severe reactions I had in years. Sherry and I immediately took a taxi back to where we were staying and where my medication was, and we all prayed. Thankfully, once I took my inhaler and my medicine, the effects in my throat faded away and I was fine. Turns out they had used a pizza cutter that cut a seafood pizza to slice Esther's pizza, and that sparked my reaction. I thank God that the reaction wasn't all serious and I was able to recover really quickly. And from that day on, I was extra careful with what I ate and made sure I had my medication on me at all times, and I learned my lesson. So in Hunchun, I taught the second older group of kids by myself. And what was really special about my Hunchun group was that two of the kids I had in my group were the younger siblings of kids who I taught during my first year of going on Taiwan mission. So this girl, Raina, who was in my group this year, had an older brother, Ethan, who was in my group 2 years ago. Before camp even started, we had gone to the Hunchun Sunday service where the pastor preached and our team performed some of the mission dances. And Raina, Ethan, and their mom attended the service. The thing was, I didn't even recognize it was Ethan at this time because he had grown a lot and he looked familiar, but I only learned later that it was actually him. It was really nice to know that Raina and Ethan's family was going to church regularly. At the end of camp, Raina's mom was nice enough to bring us 2 loaves of really colorful, delicious bread that she had baked herself, which was a really nice gesture that showed their appreciation throughout the years. So what was challenging in Hunchun was that because we had a significantly larger number of kids, which wasn't a bad thing than before, and because we were in the hospital, it was difficult finding different classrooms for all the groups. So the area I ended up teaching in had 4 groups in it total, all learning at once. So all the groups went through vocab at the same time, but we completed the activities in our own respective groups. This was a little harder because the volume was always at a really high level, and it could be sometimes hard to hear our kids. Kids would also get distracted because groups would finish at different paces and there was just so much going on at once. I'm thankful that God was able to bring so many more kids to Hunchun Camp this year, though, especially because we were in the hospital where a lot of people may feel like isn't a good place to hold a children's camp. And so in Hunchun, I remember one day during lunchtime, one of my kids named Eva asked me if I was a Christian. I told her, yes, I am, and so are all the other teachers from Boston. I asked her if she was Christian, and she said she wasn't, and that her family was some form of Buddhist, and she came to camp because her friend brought her. She then told me that she would become a vegetarian in the future due to her family's beliefs. I then remembered that the day before she had asked to call her parents because they were serving duck for lunch and she wanted to make sure that she was allowed to eat it. I asked Eva if she ever thought about becoming Christian and she shook her head. I really wasn't sure what to do at the time because I wanted to respect her beliefs but also wanted her to be able to know more about God and Christianity. I asked the other kids in my group if they were Christian or if they went to church. Some of them said they were and others said they weren't, but they also weren't religious at all. I asked them if they wanted to be, and they said they were unsure. That night, I really prayed for those kids and hoped that they would eventually be able to know God and be able to be saved. I'm sure that the kids were able to learn more about God through the skits we did every day, worship, and the Bible verses. And when the altar call came on the last day, I was really happy to see that most kids in my group did raise their hands. Even though Eva did not raise her hand, I still hope that our team was able to show her and the rest of the kids God's love through the camp and also pray that God will watch over her and protect her. So by the time we got to the Kaohsiung camp, I still had a lot of energy left in me, especially because we had more rest time this year than before. So I really looked forward to coming back to the Kaohsiung church because the environment there is just so amazing because we knew a lot of helpers from last year and they were just as welcoming as before. And you can just really tell through their team how much fellowship there is and how they're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So we could just feel God's love through them and how prepared they were to serve. Not only was I able to reunite with my incredible helpers from last year, I was able to see a lot of kids from my previous group too. So in Kaohsiung, I led a group of fifth graders and taught with Daniel, who also had fifth graders. My group last year was made up of fourth graders, so I was able to teach a lot of the same kids I had the previous year. Some of my kids even brought up our group chant and song from last year, which made me really happy that they remembered. At Kaohsiung, the camps are extremely organized with set times and systems for everything. Nap time is the real deal. The kids bring their own pillows and mats and blankets and look like sardines when they sleep. Music and announcements play throughout the facilities to signal that it's time to wake up. The level of detail and thought put into the camp schedule is just insane. I am extremely thankful for God's protection over me and the whole team throughout the trip, especially with the whole pizza incident. And I am also grateful for all the help the coordinators and helpers in Taiwan provided. I really hope that our team was able to impact the lives of the kids throughout all the three camps and that they're able to feel God's love and learn more about him and his works and wish them all the best.
Okay. Thank you, Ruthie. So the next person this morning who will share is James.
Hello, everyone. My name is James Penn, and this is my second year on Taiwan mission trip. This year didn't start out with last year's anxiety or stress, because this year I had experience, and I knew the basic layout of our mission plan. Experience paired with prayer about the language barrier between me and the children made my worries non-existent. This year in Taipei, I was paired with Wendy, and we had three helpers. One of them, Brian, was extraordinarily helpful in translations between me and the children. His English was very good, and he did his job as a helper very well. My weakness of the language barrier disappeared with the help of Brian and Wendy. Having Brian and Wendy helping me really showed how much God takes care of my needs. After Taipei, we went to Hung Chun, where we had camp for 4 days. The camp location had been moved from a church to a Christian hospital, and so I was dealing with unfamiliar surroundings once again. I got a little nervous because there were only two helpers for this camp, and so I wouldn't have as much support if I didn't know how to tell the kids how to do something. Before the camp started, I prayed to God for more patience and wisdom in order to teach the kids and for help with communicating with them. As you already know, God doesn't leave prayers unanswered. For this camp, my assigned partner was Ruth, and she did her part in teaching English fairly well. Her Mandarin is better than mine, so she could teach more effectively than I could. Ruth doesn't like to raise her voice at children, though. So when the children became distracted in the lesson and began talking to each other instead of learning, I was the one who got their focus again. We covered for each other's weak points. After Hung Chun, we went to Kaohsiung. For this camp, I was in charge of one of the youngest groups, and things weren't exactly as I expected them to be. Instead of the usual 6 kids that other groups had, I only had 4. They were great kids, though, and I enjoyed my time with them. On the last day of camp, one of them didn't come, so he was unable to give his life to Jesus at the altar call. It made me sad to not see him show up, But now when I think about it, God will still watch over his life. I know that his soul has not yet been saved, but one day, if we continue to teach the gospel, it might. This Taiwan mission trip has been a very enjoyable time for me. It is always a great thing to see so many children accept Jesus into their lives. The things I learned from last year, I was able to put into practice, and I was able to draw closer to my end goal of preaching the good news to all nations. I know I still have many weaknesses, but from what I learned from this Taiwan mission trip, I know that God will take care of my weaknesses for me.
Thank you, James. Okay, so the next one will be Hodiah. Hodiah.
Hello, my name is Hodiah. This was my first time going to Taiwan. The first time I heard about Taiwan mission trip was when I heard Tiffany's testimony a few years ago. I found it so cool that it was possible to travel to different places to teach kids about God. I had only heard about missionaries, but never thought I could be able to go too. So when I found out that I could go this year after I got baptized, I was really excited. I wanted to go, but my mom was concerned about my health, so we prayed. We asked Pastor Jack Lee to pray for us, and he said he saw me going from place to place, from big cities to small towns. We thought that meant God wanted me to go, so I got really excited. Then my mom tried telling me a lot of ways to make sure kids listen while teaching. Later, I was even more excited because my friend Ruth said she was going too. I printed out all of the teaching packets to study with pictures to go with each subject. I also tried writing down all of the pinyin for all of the vocabulary on the packets. I felt so ready for teaching. At the airport, I was excited, but also unsure what to expect. On the airplane, Ruth fell asleep almost an hour on the plane. I had a little bit of trouble sleeping, so I ended up sleeping at around 4 or 5 in the morning. When we arrived at Taiwan, I was surprised to see how green Taiwan was. I didn't think there'd be so many trees. I wasn't as jet-lagged as I thought I'd be, maybe because I slept really late on the plane. We had a few days in Taipei before the camp started, so we did a bit of shopping and went to Taipei 101. I got to know a little more about Taiwan and the camps I was going to teach in a few days. Right before camp started, I started getting nervous. What if I don't know how to say something in Chinese, or if I say something that they might not like? I was put in the same group as Isaac, and when the kids first came in, he immediately started talking to them. I forgot how to speak Chinese. I nervously watched the kids, not sure what to say to get to know them. I started gaining more confidence when we went into the classroom and I had a chance to talk to them individually and get to know them. I tried teaching and had a lot of fun asking them questions and seeing them pay attention. I didn't know I had a Chinese accent until I said zanmen and they all stared at me in confusion. In Taipei, I had a larger group with around 14 kids. A problem that came up was that our class had inconsistent helpers, and there was one that only came on 2 days, while one had family problems to attend to. So for the first day, we didn't have any helpers after lunch. I was really confused. It was my first day, and I had no idea what I should do. Sometimes I had to take one kid to do something, while Isaac would have to take another kid, and I couldn't leave until he came back, or else there would be no one in the classroom. Or maybe the kids were fighting, and I wasn't sure what to say to them, because I was afraid that they wouldn't understand me, or wouldn't be able to find the right word. One time, when they were arguing, I thought of what my mom said before. She said at work, when the kids wouldn't sleep or when she had problem with the kids, she would pray for them. I decided to try that. I prayed for them during nap time and when they fought. I also prayed for myself to be calm and have patience with the kids and know what to say. When I prayed, the kids would stop fighting, and I would know how to tell them what they should do instead of fighting, even though just a few seconds ago, I didn't even know what to say. The Bible verse for the day of camp was, for the first day of camp, was, God hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. This day helped prove how true that verse was. The last day of the Taipei camp was really fun. I got to talk more with the helper and the kids. I was really sad when we had to leave the kids. Even though the first and second day was confusing for me, I got to know the kids and spend time with them. Next, we went to Hengshun. It was more rural than Taipei, which I found really nice. I was in the same group as Daniel, and we taught with Sherry and Pride. Our group was third to fourth graders. When I first met the kids, I was only nervous for a little bit before getting to know them. There weren't as many helpers, but teaching was easier because there were more people and the kids already knew a lot of English, so we didn't have to ask that many extra questions as in Taipei. The next day, Pride was changed into another group. The kids in Hinchin were supposed to have more energy than the kids in Taipei, so thank you, God, for giving me a calmer group. The kids would listen during class and have a lot, and a lot of them went to English school, so they already knew a lot of the things we were teaching them. The camp in Hinchin had 4 days instead of three, so I got to spend more time with the kids. I was really sad to leave the kids on the last day. Kaohsiung was our last destination before returning to America. I kind of knew how things went by then, so I didn't really expect that much of a difference in the kids' behavior compared to the other camps. I was really surprised when I heard that everyone was leading a group of six kids on their own, and there were two helpers in each group. The church in Kaohsiung was really pretty, and the helpers were really helpful. The kids I taught, I got to teach with Pride and Cherry. The kids I taught were older than the kids I taught in the last two camps, so they were more involved in the class. The helpers helped teach the kids quiet and attentive during class, and most of the kids in my group were really nice and fun. There were two boys in my class that ran around and hit each other and got in trouble a lot. I feel like the helpers were always with the other kids in the group, so the boys thought that it was okay to be disruptive. I prayed for the boys to listen and behave. They'd listen to me when they weren't together for the first 2 days, but on the third day, they calmly walked in and listened to all of the instructions, even when they were together. Thank you, God. On the first day of camp in Taipei, I was really nervous to talk to the kids and was nervous to help the kids perform their chant. In Kaohsiung, I felt more comfortable teaching the kids the chant and helping them perform it. I enjoyed being able to lead the kids on my own and the satisfaction of seeing them learning and enjoy it. When I was with the kids, I tried to listen and talk to every kid to keep it fair because I knew what it was like when the teacher only paid attention to a few students and how bad it felt to be ignored by the teacher. In every camp on the last day, we would have an altar call, and every time, so many kids would raise their hands and accept God into their lives. I was really happy to see how many kids accepted Jesus, even if they might not understand what it meant and just raise their hands. They were able to make a promise to believe in God and try to understand him more. Even if they didn't understand the Bible verses and songs at the moment, the words could still make a difference in their lives as they continued to learn about English and about God. I was able to see and experience the different lifestyles and saw that even though they were different, they were still able to love and respect God in their own way. The day we were leaving Taiwan, we found out that the tail of a typhoon was going to hit Taiwan right after we left. In Taiwan, everyone was healthy and only got sick on the way of returning home. Thank you, God, for keeping us all safe in Taiwan. Thank you so much, Pastor Jocelyn, for encouraging me and giving me an opportunity to go on this mission trip. I enjoyed my time in Taiwan, and I hope to go on Taiwan mission trip again next year to teach kids about English and God.
Thank you, Hodai. Okay, so the next is going to be Isaac Wang. Isaac just came back, so he said he's tired. But isn't it supposed to be the opposite? Aren't you supposed to be more energetic in the morning?
No. Hi, my name is Isaac Wang, and this is my third year going on Taiwan mission trip. This year, I really want to focus with bonding with the kids by showing God's love through me. I also had this anxious feeling in my heart, and I was actually really nervous. In Taipei, I taught Group 2, the Attacking Snakes, with Hodaya. There were 14 kids. However, the night before, I had this feeling that I had to pray. I haven't actually prayed in a while, besides for food. So I thought, why not start again now? I'm glad I prayed, as the camp went really well, better than I expected. I was really thankful for Adaya, as even though it was her first year, she taught really well, and that anxious feeling in my heart started to go away. Taipei helped boost my confidence for the next camp, Hunchun. Personally, I think that Hunchun is the hardest camp to teach, and it was the one that I was the most worried about. So right before the kids enter through the camp doors, I asked the pastor to pray for me. She asked God for strength, and the prayer helped calm me down. I ended up teaching Group 6, the Strawberry Pandas, which had 11 kids. However, by the end of the day, I was still really tired, my voice was gone, and I wish I slept at nap time. Thankfully, Pry switched to my group for the rest of the camp. Even though it was also his first year, Pry was a natural, and we were able to get our kids under control by playing Duck Duck Goose. The Hunchun kids were awesome, as they also taught me patience and to learn the whole story before pointing fingers. Kaohsiung is by far the most organized camp. They have a huge church and a lot of helpers. I was in Group 3C, the Flying Bananas. I am thankful for my helpers, as they spoke really good English, and it ended up being my favorite camp as we were able to do so much more than what we normally do. Throughout this time on mission trip, I feel as God has taught and reminded me that I can and should pray to him whenever I need to. 1 John 5:14, we are confident that God hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. On this trip, whenever I asked him, he answered me. He gave me the strength to keep going, the confidence to get rid of my anxiety, and the wisdom to teach and portray his image. I am thankful that God helped me during Taiwan mission trip, and I know that he'll always be there for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Isaac. Okay, so the next one, it will be Tiffany.
Hello. Okay, so hi, my name is Tiffany. This year marks my 12th year going on Taiwan mission trip. So after doing this for 12 times, I decided to make it a little bit different. So this year, most of my testimony is about like the logistics and the planning behind it. So every year, I usually start preparing for the mission trip around March. We start brainstorming the curriculum ideas, choreographing worship songs, and writing all the skits. I work on the TMT coordination mostly at night, because due to the time difference, the pastor can only get the camp details during their work day, which is our nighttime. So as you can imagine, it's very difficult to send schedules back and forth, getting the booklets approved on time between all the time zones. And sometimes we're editing and putting the booklet maybe just a few weeks before the camp starts. So this year, while I was looking over our booklets, I felt a strong passion to bring something new and exciting to the booklets. So while compiling all the past lessons on my computer, I did feel like we had exhausted and reused all of our past lessons from the years before. And even looking at the skits, it did feel like we were doing the same old parables from the Old Testaments or whatever it might be. And as for worship songs, we really hadn't changed our set of worship songs for the past 3 to 4 years. Our last song that we added was like Wake or Brighter. And Forever Family. So it would be really easy this year just to copy and paste all the things that we had done in the past and just be like, oh, we're done. But I didn't really feel like that was the right thing to do. I wanted to put more effort into it, and I felt like God wanted us to sing a new song to him. So little did I know he was just going to flip everything that we had done upside down to show us a new perspective and how that could change. So the process for introducing a new song to Taiwan Mission Trip is usually we test it out in children's church first to see if anyone actually likes it. The last song that I had tried was My Best Friend. I choreographed it. We performed it one time in children's church, and then I transitioned to young adult ministry, and we never performed that song ever again. So I didn't really know if anyone actually liked it or if anyone could remember it well enough to bring it back for Taiwan Mission Trip. So it was actually in the PowerPoint, the music video. So the song itself is catchy. It's easy to remember. It has like this best friend movement. It's with partners. So I thought it would work well for Taiwan Mission Trip because the main chorus is just, Jesus, you are my best friend. So if you just remember that one line, then you're good for the rest of the song. You have the message. So Karen and I tested out a bunch of songs, and we decided to teach our team Love Come Down and My Best Friend, which you will see later in Mandarin service. we had only practiced these new songs about maybe like 2 or 3 times before we left for Taiwan. So this is basically new for everyone on the team. It wasn't new for just the newcomers. So I was really nervous if we couldn't dance in unity or if no one could remember the moves, because if we didn't know how to do it, then we just wouldn't perform the song at all in Taiwan, which is going to be a letdown. So I'm really grateful for how dedicated our team was practicing these new songs. They would even practice at like night in their rooms during rest time. Yeah, so they would like teach each other and be willing to just like give each other pointers on how to clean each other up for the dance movements. But even then, I was still a little nervous that maybe this song wouldn't be well-liked by students. Maybe like the hand-clapping partner part was too hard for them. Maybe they wouldn't even like it. So the concept of My Best Friend, it's like with partners, right? So it's very similar to another song that we have called Halala. It's almost, we call it like part two. It's like the harder version. So I was really surprised when my group at Huntsman, which is the youngest group, they were like, we want to do My Best Friend for our song. I was like, are you sure you want to do something easier like hallelujah? And they were like, no. And then they just started singing. So they would sing, Jesus, you are my best friend. You know, oh yeah. And I'm like, hello? I can't hear the rest of the words, but it's okay because they have the main line. That's all you need. So that really eased any of my fears about this song. And I'm really glad for God and thankful to God for trusting in his guidance throughout this entire worship process. So in addition to new songs, we also had a vision to bring new skits as well. So in the past, we'd always done Old Testament stories or Jesus's parables for skits. And this year, the pastor wanted more New Testament stories, especially ones that did include Jesus, that were relatable for the kids to understand. So we decided to do parables like The Neighbor and the Friend, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, to show how to pray persistently and with humility. We performed The Good Samaritan to show how to love our neighbors, the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and the resurrection of Lazarus, and how to become a fisher of men with Peter and his fishermen. So 3 out of 4 of these skits were brand new, and I was nervous as to how to write, deliver, or direct these skits. Not only that, but a lot of them were like normal parables, so like all the messages in them are great, but they didn't have like the armies of the Old Testament or like a giant whale or a big action sequence, so we thought that maybe the kids won't be as interested. But just like with the worship songs, we trusted that God's vision and plans for the skits were good. So I praise God for our team and their amazing acting skills and teamwork in being able to deliver these skits and bring them to life. Combined with the song My Best Friend, this year the skits gave a more cohesive message to the children that we can talk to Jesus every day with prayer, that he has the power to perform miracles in our lives, and that he loves us and will always be there for us as our best friend. So after we perform a skit, there's always a question time. And that's where the children answer questions and they tell us what they learned from the skit. And it was moving to see that even the younger children could understand the concept of praying with humility and learning how to serve the people around them. And on the final day, we try to leave the children with a message that can plant a seed for their faith and allow it to grow, whether that be the message of, if you believe in Jesus, you will live even if you die, or follow Jesus and become a fisher of men. And seeing how many children that are willing to plant this seed in their heart and accept Jesus will always make the hours of writing and directing and preparing for these skits very worth it. So this year, there were also several changes to our normal camp schedule in each location, from replacing movie time with music and dance exercise to outdoor field trips and balloon making. It felt like every camp had kept me on my toes. So in Taipei, we replaced movie time with a music workshop taught by Sister Wendy and a dance exercise workshop taught by me. And this was both unfamiliar and exciting to know that whatever our talents or our passions are, we can use them to serve God. And in Hunsun, instead of craft time, we went outside to learn about the supermarket at the supermarket and learned about camping with an indoor campsite, which turned out to be a very interactive, educational, and miraculous experience because it had been pouring every day outside in Hunsun. But the morning that we went out for our supermarket field trip, it just was sunny for some reason. And then it started pouring later. And then in Kaohsiung, it was my first time experiencing a peaceful nap time. So where we also decided last minute to do a teacher dance performance of This Is Living, even though we only practiced it twice. So this year, I am grateful for God's guidance and love during this trip and taking risks and trying new things. There's always something new, fresh, and exciting about God's word that I'm glad we could convey to these children. He has always blessed us with amazing coworkers in Taiwan and protected us from any serious harm. Thank you to all who have been supporting us and praying for us, and praise to God for all of his wonderful work in Taiwan.